At this time, I have the pleasure to introduce Gayla. Gayla is a native Texan, transplanted to California and Nevada, where she met, fell in love, and married her husband, John Price. They raised two children together, one of which is a missionary in Ukraine. They have beautiful grandchildren who live in Reno, Nevada, and she and her husband currently live in Bedford, Texas, and work with the Legacy Church of Christ. These last few years, God has caused her to become more involved with speaking at different ladies' days with various churches, and she has also been invited to speak at the Northern California Ladies' Retreat in Lassen Pines. She's attended this special gathering since 1989, actively participating in all of the events to include hosting fun time, leading discussion groups, and presenting devotionals. Gayla feels the best way to spiritually grow is to say yes to the opportunities that present themselves according to the needs of the church. She currently works as a flight attendant for American Airlines and plans to continue her studies to become a biblically based certified family and marriage counselor with the Agape Counseling Center. She will work with her husband in counseling and presenting marriage classes based on biblical principles after he graduates sometime in early 2012. Gayla continues to be enrolled in an internship in the University of Jesus Christ, a school of higher learning. She's working on a master's degree, the crown of life, to be given on that final day to all that obey him, Acts 4:13. At this time, we'll have Gayla Price.
Good morning. I didn't think this day would ever get here. I mean, and it's here, and here we are, and it's so wonderful to see all of you, and some I know, some I don't, and I was looking for you, Sandra. Nice to meet you. I'm Gayla. We haven't met. So anyway, this is what this Ladies' Day, okay, our Ladies' Retreat we go on every year, which I really think y'all should consider going. Some of you are here from Ladies' Retreat, but it's every year in September, and it's just like this, so much fun for 3 days. It's just wonderful. I wish we could do this every day, really. This is just what gets me on a high. Forget the drugs. Anyway, our topic, mine is transformation through meditation. And it's really touched my heart in more ways than one. And I have so much to share with you and so little time, so I better get with it. So, first of all, I just want to ask, how many of you really ever think of meditation? I mean, what thoughts or images come to your mind when you think about it? Does it stir up negative or positive feelings? Well, I believe we all meditate on something, but we just don't think about it as meditation. I think that's what's happening. We just don't think of it as that. Maybe we even think prayer is meditation. Well, actually, prayer is the exact opposite of meditation. Prayer is asking, meditation is listening. In other words, we meditate so that God can speak to us, and we pray so that we can speak to God. We learn from Scripture that both are very important. Today, when we speak of meditation, we as a church can become puzzled at what we think it means as it relates to our Christianity. Every religion known to man instructs believers to have faith in a higher power who listens to their prayers and to be confident that everything that happens in life is orchestrated by that higher power. The New Illustrated Bible Dictionary comments that meditation today is a lost art for many Christians. Some of our popular Bible translations even substitute other words when they translate meditate or meditation. I believe that today, the church has virtually surrendered meditation to the New Age movement and to Eastern religions. And my question is, why should we be so willing to surrender these biblical realities to others? In studying the scriptures, it is clear to me that the Bible belongs to the children of God. People have a deep spiritual need to meditate, whether they realize it or not. Okay, I would like to start with what meditation is and is not. Meditation in the Bible is not the kind practiced by many Eastern religions, such as Hinduism or Buddhism, out of which come transcendental meditation, where the object is to experience truth peace or being, that which is inexpressible. They meditate in order to experience God or to receive some revelation from God. They usually attempt to empty the mind so as to find or receive truth from within, which is a subjective form of meditation, meaning that it is based on our own personal feelings rather than fact. In the New Oxford Dictionary, the word meditate is to focus one's mind for a period of time in silence or with the aid of chanting for religious or spiritual purposes or as a method of relaxation, to think deeply about something. The Hebrew word for meditate is hagah, which means to murmur, groan, or ponder. People hagah when they are delighted, angered, or worried. We naturally hagah when we're in the grip of an obsession. How many of us hagah on worry? When we struggle with worry and anxiety, we obsess about a problem, running its negative possibilities over and over and over in our mind. The Mayo Clinic reports that 80 to 85% of their cases are related to worry and anxiety. Recent data shows that 112 million people take medications each week for stress-related symptoms. That's a third of our population. According to their chief medical doctor, the majority of these cases are preventable. Well, if we know how to worry to this degree, we surely know how to meditate. The solution to our problem will not be found in a medicine cabinet. We find it in God's word, and it speaks to prayer and meditation. So we must ask ourselves, do we wish to medicate or meditate? Outside of the few who need the aid of medicine, we do have a choice. It is important that we learn how to redirect and focus on the things above that are eternal and not on the temporary things of this world that causes anxiety. Let us medicate our spirit by meditating on God's word. This type of medication won't even cost you a penny either. In 1 Peter 5, 6, 7, remember, it says, humble yourselves, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I always stress the word all. As the Bible defines it, we are to think deeply about God. So let us look at the Bible and try to understand both the use and the purpose of biblical meditation. Meditation in the Bible is to dwell or contemplate on some truth or reality already revealed. This is an objective form of meditation, meaning it is not based on your own personal feelings, but on the facts. You select a verse and reflect on it over and over in your mind, writing it upon your heart. Meditation can refocus our thoughts away from ourselves and from the world so that we reflect upon God, his nature, his abilities, and his works. We prayerfully ponder, muse, and then chew the words of Scripture. I love that. Allowing the Holy Spirit to activate the life-giving word within us. In the Old Testament, there are two primary words for meditation. I already mentioned the first one, which is hagah, and the other one is siach, hope I'm pronouncing them right, which means to muse, rehearse in one's mind, or contemplate. These words can also be translated as dwell, diligently consider, and heed. Meditation is a process of deliberately focusing on specific thoughts, such as a Bible passage, and reflecting on their meaning. It also means to dwell upon God's unfailing love, like in Psalm 48, 9. The mighty works and deeds of his hands in Psalm 77, 12, as well as his ways and decrees in Psalm 119, 23. I really liked the analogy to chew the words of Scripture. Meditating is a little like a cow chewing her cud. And I love cows too, by the way. We first eat the word when we bring it up and chew on it some more. We eat it, we bring it up, chew on it some more. When we do, we get extra nourishment and understanding. Biblical things began to fit together much better, and mysteries began to be revealed. No other habit can do more to transform our life and make us look more like Jesus than daily reflection on Scripture. And another word I found interesting is the word muse. This means to dwell on or ponder, to be absorbed in one's thoughts. I know I don't use nor have I personally heard that word used in this way, but I will tell you how we use it. But before I do, I want to ask you a question. What is a theist? Well, we know a theist is a person who believes in God. We're all theists. If we put an A in front of the word theist, we now have atheist, someone who does not believe in God. Now, when we put an A in front of the word muse, what do we have? Okay, a muse, which means the lack or absence of thought. Therefore, to be amused or to look for amusement is to be involved in something that diverts our attention from actually having to think. Sometimes we just don't want to think, you know? I know I do. What is why entertainment is referred to as amusement? You see, when we are being amused, we cease to think. Now, I do believe there is a place for amusement, but we don't have to dwell there, nor should we. However, if our attention is constantly being diverted away from God to be entertained by the world or in seeking amusement, even in our worship, we cease to think about God in a spiritual way, which means we no longer are being led by the Spirit. We dishonor Him and risk abandoning God for the temporal pleasures of this life. I just read something the other day, and I thought it was a good example as to what I'm saying here. Some of you may have a digital camera. How many times have you ever lost a picture or found the file corrupted or accidentally erased because you were not paying attention? It is important not to be distracted by the world so that God's word is erased, lost, or corrupted within us. We must write it up on our heart, the hard drive of the mind, so that we remain in the image of God, that the picture of Christ is always seen in us. Sometimes, if we are not worrying about something or wanting to be amused, we can just be busy for the sake of being busy. Guilty. We then end up not having the time to even stop and think about what we're doing, where we're going, who we are, and God's purpose for our lives. All of a sudden, we're old and we're like, what happened? We are more interested in what makes us happy in the here and now. Why do we say stop and think? I've always said that to myself. Stop, think, stop and think. Because we know when we're filling our minds with the busyness of the here and now, we cannot stop and think. In my search regarding the word muse, I came across an interesting study conducted by Stanford University research team. Though it's not surprising, this study is not very surprising to me, as I believe we've all used or heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. This study revealed that what we watch does have an effect on our imaginations, our learning patterns, and our behaviors. First, we are exposed to new behaviors and characters. Next, we learn or acquire these new behaviors. The last and most crucial step is that we adopt these behaviors as our own. They go on to say one of the most critical aspects of human development that we need to understand is the influence of repeated viewing and repeated verbalizing in shaping our future. The information goes in harmlessly, almost unnoticed, on a daily basis, but we don't react to it until later, when we aren't able to realize the basis for our reactions. In other words, our value system is being formed without any conscious awareness on our part of what is happening. In Dennis Waitley's book, Seeds of Greatness, he writes, "You are what you watch and think. If a 60-second commercial by repeated viewing can sell a product, then isn't it possible for a 60-minute soap opera or smut com by repeated viewing to sell us a lifestyle?" This goes right along with what Philippians 4:8 tells us to dwell or muse on. Whatever is truthful, honorable, righteous, pure, lovely, and of good repute, we are to think on these things. If we as Christians are going to succeed on our spiritual journey while living in this physical world, we must set our minds or meditate on the things of the Spirit or the things above where Christ is. Only then can we help, with the help of God, put off the old self and put on the new. If you find yourself fighting against or being too busy to meditate on God's word, what are you doing in its place? What are you thinking about, worrying about, or possibly running from? We all think about something, which means we are dwelling on something. I know my mind is always thinking. There can be so much noise going on in that mind of mine. I have recently found out that my temperament is a sanguine. You guys, I'm a sanguine. Sanguine personalities are very social. I thought they were wallflowers, you know, like little, you know, shy people. There is a shy bone in there somewhere, I know. But anyway, they are social, outgoing, and are people. But a couple of their weaknesses are being able, and as some of you know me, you will get this, being able to focus on one thing and follow through with projects. Can you believe that? Anyway, so they can also be known as scatterbrained. That's what it said. Which I found very interesting and now makes so much sense to me as to why that was one of my many nicknames while growing up. So my point in sharing that with you is that, as hard as it can be for me, I know if I can take time out to meditate on God's word, anyone can. Even a sanguine can be transformed. At this point, hopefully we have a little better understanding as to what meditation is. Now maybe we can come to a greater awareness as to why it is a very critical part of Christian living, because our thoughts do determine our behavior. And so what we think about is very important. It is a vital exercise for the minds of God's children. So why should we meditate? That was my next question I had asked. And then as I meditated on that question for myself, it brought two other questions to mind. And it was, why wouldn't we want to meditate? And what keeps us from meditating? Is it a matter of time? So, are we willing to say to the God of this universe, our creator and judge, who is the source for all that we have, who desires an intimate relationship with us, that we have no time for him? This not only separates us from God, but from the prophets of old. To begin with, the Bible sets an example for us. It is commanded in Joshua 1:8. Several of the prophets meditated on God's word, and Paul reminds us in Romans 15:4 that everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and for encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And remember, David meditated on God's unfailing love in Psalm 48:8-10. And should this not bring us hope today? Think about this for a moment and try to understand just what this means. He provides a love that never fails, ever. It's unending, no matter what we do and how bad and ugly we are. I mean, he sent his only Son to die in our place. Our body is now the temple where God dwells. He no longer dwells in a building, a physical temple made with human hands. He, our God, creator of everything that exists, now dwells within us. I can hardly wrap my little mind around that. He dwells in the temple of his children. His presence is in you It's in me. And this is where I would like to pause for a moment as we think about this and focus our minds on the words of one of my favorite songs that comes to my mind when I meditate and I see everything he has done. And I think we ought to stand when we sing this, because this will give you a chance to stretch too, because I still have more. So you want to stretch. No sleepers. One of my favorites, and sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night singing that song. And we all sound like angels. That's why else I love ladies' days and ladies' retreats. I mean, men do add to it for sure, but we sound like so beautiful when we're together. Anyway, that song kind of says that part that says, I scarce can take it in. It's just so indescribable, which made me think of another song, but I thought, time. But that song that goes, how do you explain? How do you describe? A love that goes from east to west and as deep as it is wide. It is hard to explain and hard to understand. But if our Father loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die in our place, I ask again, why wouldn't we want a deeper and more intimate relationship with him? I pray that each one of us will really take some time out to think about this kind of love, that unfailing love that we cannot even know if we do not have an intimate relationship with our Father. So, I started thinking about things that keep us from meditating on God and coming to this relationship with him. And I came up with three things that I think keep us from it. And I believe pride can be one thing. We can say such things as, I don't pray because I can't. Or I don't ask him because I'll work it out. It's just something small. I have a handle on it. I mean, every single breath we take is from him. He knows all our thoughts and all our ways. There is nothing hidden. Pride keeps us off our knees. Pride keeps us in sin. We would rather have a relationship with this, that, or somebody else rather than God. Pride can really hurt a marriage too. When you think about the parallel of marriage and the church and our relationship with God. Rebellion is another one. As long as there is a lifestyle of sin, there is no relationship with God. We may ask questions like, well, I pray and nothing ever happens. Or I pray, God doesn't answer me. Well, God isn't the problem. We are the problem. There is no intimacy where there is rebellion. Can we have an intimate relationship in our marriage if our spouse is rebellious against us? And what about time? That's a biggie when we have all these modern conveniences and we know all that. There's no time. Because we are always in a hurry. We won't develop an intimate relationship if we don't take the time to read his word and to meditate on him, offering praise and thanksgiving. When we read the Bible, we can also ask him questions such as, God, what are you saying to me? How does this apply to my life? Is this a warning, something I need to look at in my own life? We need to take time to read, to talk to him, asking for wisdom and understanding. He will give us this. The more we listen, the more we are going to hear. The more we hear, the more excited we are going to be. And the more excited we get, the more time we want to give him and listen to him, because we have now grown into a more intimate relationship and understanding with him. There have been many, many times in my own life where I feel like the hare in Alice in Wonderland, always running here and there, trying to beat the clock. Can we be so busy we are unable not only to meditate, but to enjoy the life he has given us? When we rest, we are reviving the body. When we are in quiet time with God, we are reviving the soul. We need to be busy at learning to be still. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. We need to be still, stop fretting, and start focusing on the things of God. When life gets too busy and we do not stop to pray and meditate on God's word, we then find ourselves unable to stay awake when we do get still because we're so tired and exhausted. We are giving God the leftovers of our life. What is the answer to this? Well, I can't answer it for y'all. You can't answer it for me. Each one of us must find our own balance in our own lives. We must go to God for those answers, and we must develop an intimate relationship with Him. We find in the Bible that many great men of God meditated. Genesis 24:63 tells us that Isaac went out into the field to meditate. The psalmist certainly meditated even in the night watches, Psalm 63:6. Psalm 1:2 says his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he meditates day and night. We need to meditate on God's precepts and ways, Psalms 119:15, and on the mighty works of God, Psalm 143:5. In Psalm 104:34, the psalmist prayed that the meditation of his heart would be sweet, and in Psalm 19:14, that it would be acceptable to God. As we can see in Scripture, the psalmist used meditation as an approach to God. His meditation then led him to a greater understanding, Psalm 49:3. Meditation can take us from the mere knowledge of Christ to a more intimate and meaningful relationship with Him. So we really need to understand and get the message of how critical it is to spiritually grow. I want you to ask yourself a question about how much you've grown since you became a child of God. Are you still learning and growing? If you found out that your doctor never keeps up with the journals or new procedures, would you still want him practicing on you? If you are not growing, you are weak because you're still on milk. We need to be researching the spiritual medical books to stay up to date in our practice of worship. How can we help one another and be the example we need to be if we remain on milk? What if our physical bodies never got off of milk? What if we were all still drinking milk? What would we look like today? Pretty pitiful. That was the only nourishment our bodies ever had. We need to prayerfully ponder and muse, chewing on the words of Scripture, which allows the Holy Spirit to activate the life-giving word of God. Meditation is your spirit, what digestion is to your body. Think about that one. It breaks down God's truth and wisdom. It adds to our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, ridding our minds of the noise that we have ingested for so long. Just think what would happen if our bodies did not digest all that we put into it. I don't think I want to think about that one. And what would happen if we did not eat any food at all? We would not only need physical food, but our souls need to eat spiritual food. We need to chew on it and digest it. We need to digest both the physical and spiritual bodies. Meditation becomes life-giving and growth, just like healthy food when we eat it. We water a seed for it to grow. This is about living and growing in the spirit. We need to nourish our soul in order to grow. Who of us eats food with no intent to digest it? Which Christian would eat the bread of life and not process it to the health of the spirit, digesting his word? Hosea says, "My people perish because of lack of knowledge." David meditated, and he was a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 119:99, David says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." A.W. Tozer wrote, "Everywhere among conservatives, we find persons who are Bible-taught, but not Spirit-taught. They conceive truth to be something which they can grasp with the mind. If a man holds to the fundamentals of the Christian faith, he is thought to possess divine truth. but it does not follow. This is because there is no truth apart from the Spirit. It does not matter how much education you have acquired. Great relationships are built by spending time and talking together, exploring the depths together, and sharing about the little things of life. The heart-to-heart talk and the quick chat over coffee or tea both build and deepen our human relationships. When we meditate daily on God's Word, we begin to see more clearly who He is, His character, and divine nature. He then becomes more real to us, and we grow deeper in our relationship with Him. While there is nothing wrong with asking for help when we need it, in fact, it's crazy not to, the best friendship also shares the joys and daily things of life. When we share our daily moments with God, our spiritual life will deepen immeasurably. So now this brings me to why this topic is so close to my heart. Because I have been more committed to praying and meditating on God's Word for several years now, I have experienced a deeper and closer and more intimate relationship with God that comes from this. I thought it was really interesting when I was invited to speak here on this topic, since it has been a part of my life, even before I understood it to be meditation. It became apparent at this point in my life that I had actually made a habit of spending daily time with God. When a busy day took up most of my time where I failed to be still and have my quiet time with God, I experienced a really strong desire, a literal hunger for Him. It became clear to me that I cannot go a day, which has now turned into a minute or even a second, without Him in my thoughts. I have to feed on Him daily to feel a hunger. I have to drink of that living water He told the Samaritan woman about. I now better understand the blessing of those wonderful words in Matthew 5:6, where Jesus promised us that if we hunger and thirst for Him and His righteousness, we will be filled. When I look back and I see Him in everything and every decision I have made, I don't believe in coincidences or luck. I seek to serve and to share my love in what He has done in my life with others so they too can receive the comfort I have received through Him. And this is what 2 Corinthians 1:3-7 tells us to do. I would like to share just a small part of what He has done in my life and through prayer and meditation on His Word. It has caused me to ask Him questions, to praise Him and ask Him for forgiveness. It made me lift my concerns for others, which would relieve me of the worries I had for them. I realized His love for them was stronger than any love I had or will ever have for them. God's Word is how He speaks to us, so we need to be silent before Him in order to hear what He has to say. Meditating strengthened my trust and my faith in Him. I used to always ask God to take away all my burdens, just take them away. I mean, I was a real complainer and just always wanted happiness and comfort. I wanted a good life. But as I got to know David, Daniel, Joseph, Moses, and Paul, just to name a few, including Christ Himself, I no longer ask this, never ask this anymore. I now ask for strength and courage to get through these trials, because I have no doubt that these struggles in my life are really a gift from God. It's a test of my faith to make my spiritual muscles stronger. After all, isn't this what Jesus said? Not my will, but yours. That is what we need to remember. One fact we must accept is that there will always, always be burdens and trials as long as we are living in this world. We must prepare ourselves by praying and meditating on His will, building a firm foundation to help us stand when the storms of life come our way, so that we too can say with confidence, not my will, but yours. Although I believe the beginning of my prayers and meditation may have started around the time I was pregnant with my son, which was when I returned to God after leaving Him to seek worldly pleasures. Studying this topic caused me to reflect back to a time when I was still young, living with my parents. I had a love for nature even then, especially for the mountains. Love mountains. I would feel so much peace standing among those majestic mountains with the towering trees that reached way up to the heavens. This may have come from my dad, because my dad was like that, or maybe from being raised in West Texas, if any of you have ever been there. I would close my eyes and take deep breaths, just smelling the fresh pine trees and just the pure, clean air of the Ruidoso Mountains. That's in New Mexico. There were times I would think about Jesus going up on the mountain to get away and pray. I believe not only does this come from the environment in which I lived, but also from Ecclesiastes 3:11 that tells us we are born with eternity in our heart and a yearning for something bigger than ourselves, who created everything around us. Well, eventually, I was blessed to live in the mountains of Tahoe with my family. It wound up being just the place I needed to be, as I found myself in the midst of many, many heavy burdens during this time. Almost daily, I would go to this peaceful place next to a refreshing stream. This is where I'd go, lifting my prayers of thanksgiving to God, along with the heavy, heavy burdens I was carrying around. My soul would just groan, searching for answers that only He knew. I needed His guidance. I felt I had nowhere to turn, and I would find so much peace and comfort when I met Him at our special place by the beautiful living stream. God carried me through those rough times, as well as the many more that came my way during the next several years. There were no overnight quick answers, but I would find peace by this stream, and I felt God's presence. I had no idea what this whole process was doing to my soul at the time. I just knew I trusted Him. As a side note, while those mountains were beautiful, they weren't the only reason that I meditated or the only place to meditate. God took me from the mountains of Tahoe to the brown valley of Reno and eventually to the green hills of Northern California before I ended up where I am now in the dusty and hot flatlands of Texas. And guess what? I'm still finding a time and a place to meditate and enjoying the works of His hands. As a matter of fact, it did not go unnoticed that He put us on a slight hill, kind of looks San Jose-ish, overlooking a small, beautiful lake laced with trees. It was like, thank you. He's mindful of us. As time passed and I now look back, I think the deeper and more meaningful prayer and meditation actually started happening during my commute by car from Reno to San Jose. But before I started commuting, I prayed and our family prayed together because I was really looking for a way out. I'm like, no, I don't want to commute. I don't know anybody there. Well, this is when He brought Janet into my life. Call this an answered prayer? Yeah, I think it was. It was a wonderful answered prayer. So I began another new chapter in my life. I drove to San Jose most of the time as I was not able to fly. I had never really enjoyed driving that much, never. That kept me too still, too confined, you know? How boring to sit for that long. But another change was coming my way. I started to enjoy this most beautiful drive more and more. I found myself thanking and praising our Creator, and especially for having these eyes to see all His beauty. I had deep and strong feelings I could not even express. There just were no words to describe how I felt. I would think about what a fantastic artist He is and how He created everything for us because of how much He cares and loves us, even for those who don't even believe Him or love Him. This is beyond my understanding. All I could do was start singing songs of praise like the ones we just sang. Now, is this meditation too? Well, in Psalms 143:5, David says, I will meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I had learned to spend these times in meditation and prayer to God. Was this one of His ways of helping me to focus more on Him and answer to many of my prayers? Did He do this so that I might learn to be still and dwell upon the more important things of this life? Where is God taking you that you might better focus on him? I would talk to him about all my worries and concerns, my love for him and gratitude for all he has been in my life. I would be in awe of nature as I drove over the mountains and by those flowing rivers. I then began to collect all my CDs and tapes and songs and sermons, and it started feeling like I was planning a date or something. You know, I'd get all worked up and excited. What am I going to hear today? And I could sing as loud as I wanted. No, he didn't care. And I just get so excited about going to work. And of course, the gold nugget at the end of my journey was a warm, peaceful, and comfortable place with Janet, a place I soon began to call my home. My home away from home, and I still thank God every day for those years. Sorry. Those were some special times. This isn't in the script. Okay, I do believe in this chapter of my life, another transformation happened to me during those frequent drives to and from San Jose. And I am forever thankful for them and forever thankful for this church that God put me in, this beautiful family. In fact, let me share one occasion in which God touched my heart that I may have never noticed had I not learned to share time with him. It was one of those goosebump moments that even my goosebumps had goosebumps. Have your goosebumps ever had goosebumps? Well, one afternoon while driving home, I had been listening to songs of praise and a lesson which brought me to think on all the ways God has been with me and where he was taking me. I then thought, I haven't even listened to the radio in forever. I mean, it had been a long time, so I thought, I think I'll turn the radio on. I think I'll turn it on and see if I can find a good station. Help me find a song, Lord. That's exactly how it went. I turned it on, and the song playing was Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me. It was on the chorus that said, I'm not going to try saying it to you. You were my strength when I was weak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. I was like, wow, I love this song, Lord. That is you with me. Then the song ended. I got in on the end of it. I thought, God, I sure wish I hadn't turned it on right at the end of the song. Bummer. I really would like to hear the song from the beginning. As I hit the seek button yet again, I instantly became distracted by one of my most favorite scenes when I was going home. It's always my favorite. It's a spectacular view of the rushing river flowing through the mountain valley lined with lush fir and pine trees. And as it always does, my heart just melted and I gasped at the sight of it. At that precise moment, the seat button stopped at the first station it found, and Celine Dion began to sing right at the beginning of the song. Goosebumps galore. I'm telling you, I got to sing along and really heard the words that she said. Now, she was singing it, I think, about her husband because she'd say baby, but I would say God, which was so fitting in my relationship with him. I mean, and I would just think, who am I that you are so mindful of wee little me, you know, in all these mountains in this big world? Who am I, Lord? I'm so nothing. You are so big. And the first thing I said to John when I walked through our front door, first thing, he remembers it. I said, God and I have a song. I think I might have told Janet. It seems like I remember telling you. Some may think that this is just a coincidence. Well, I don't think so. As so many similar things happen in my life. My stepson calls moments like these God winks, like that, or God, you just see God winking at you. You get so excited, you know, like we would our kids. Glad to do it for you. Anyway, when John and I eventually moved to the San Jose area, yet another chapter, it was good to be closer to work, especially during the winter months. I actually felt a little sad, though, knowing I wouldn't be driving through those beautiful mountains as often and having as much time to spend singing and having those sweet conversations with God. And, of course, I thought about all the sweet memories with Janet. But God brought new and more blessings because now I'd get to enjoy a nice ride to work, only this time my husband would be driving me there. We had great conversation and enjoyed coffee together along the way. Sometimes we would listen to sermons or songs on CDs. This too was like planning a date, which I would get excited about, only this time it would be spent with my husband, another relationship that would strengthen over time. Living in Morgan Hill, I really enjoyed the quiet times I had there, where I was able to spend time with God, which, by the way, I was near another beautiful stream in Uvas Falls. This is when I started getting to know our David and Psalms better and made a decision that I wanted to be a woman after God's own heart. I asked God to help me with this, to show me and to give me a clean heart. I asked him to test me and to rid my heart of anything in there that shouldn't be. This did scare me a little, but I truly came to a place in my life that I really needed and wanted to know how I looked to him, especially if I was to grow spiritually and be all that God intends for me to be. I want the excess baggage out, the ugliness as I call it, even those hidden bags I didn't realize I was hanging on to. I wanted them out of my life, and I still do. This baggage is hindering me from growing and becoming more like Christ. I prayed for and continue to seek opportunities for spiritual growth. I have a fear of staying on spiritual milk for the rest of my life, a fear of becoming a bitter old woman, allowing my past to harden my heart. I do not want to be 80 years old, still drinking milk with no real understanding of God's word. I have committed myself to have a more intimate relationship with God. I want my body to be a living temple where God dwells. Are we mindful of that temple? Do we look more and more like Jesus each day? Do others see compassion, patience, empathy, forgiveness, and most of all, love for all people in our lives? Do we have peace, joy, faith, and trust? Are we thinking on things that are lovely and pure? Or are we putting the garbage in from spending too much time in the world, doing worldly things, or allowing the stresses of the world to harden us and affect us in a negative way? Are we making a difference in the world, or is the world making a difference in us? Since I started the spiritual journey in my life, I find that I cherish it more than anything in this world, and I miss it so much if I don't take the time out each day to be with him. If I do not do this daily, I find I miss him terribly. He is my everything, and I never want to forget the times we spend together, the times of just being still and knowing he is God. Peace and joy come from the times I sit still and read his word and then listen quietly, no noise, reflecting on what he is saying to me. This is really beyond my understanding, but I know it is real. The real peace and the real joy does come, and it does not matter what circumstances come my way. I know I can fully trust him to be with me through anything. He becomes such a huge part of me, and my love for him grows so much that I find myself talking to him everywhere I go, when I lie down, when I am awake, and at night, and I have a fire and song in my heart I pray never goes out. It may sound like this all comes easy for me. Sometimes it does, most of the time it doesn't. It depends on which season of life I am in, which is another lesson I love to share one day. Life can be so busy or filled with so many burdens and headaches, each day filled with troubles of its own, from sickness or death, finances, relationship problems, and loads of responsibility. I have had days where I didn't feel like getting out of bed and facing the day. Other times I get so distracted by the things I want to do and the things of this world. But what makes me miss spending time with him is the comfort, the peace, and the joy that come from the times I spend with him. If I get out of the habit of coming to him, my life doesn't feel as peaceful. Then I begin to worry about everything, and I get wrapped up in all the concerns of the world. This is what Satan wants us to do. If you are not doing so already, I challenge you today to share your daily moments with God. You were made to do this. Maybe a journal. Sometimes I think I started out sometimes in a journal, because sometimes if I can't have the words, I can't think of what to say, how to say it, doesn't come out right. It is amazing what a notebook and a pen will do. So much comes out. I mean, things come out of me. I'm like, where did that come from? It's just crazy. Sometimes you can write better. Your spiritual life will deepen immeasurably. If we want it bad enough, and that's the key, we can experience this transformation through meditation. Change your thinking and you change your life. We have the gift of getting to make this choice for ourselves. No one can make us, and we can't make anyone else. To look like Jesus, there must be a mind change. Doing what is right and good now brings riches eternal. Well, you've heard just a small part of what meditation has done in my life. My prayer for you is that you will leave here today not only encouraged but strengthened by what God can do in us and through us when we give ourselves up to Him, seeking His will so that we can tap into His presence, allowing our bodies, the temple of God, to be a living sacrifice for Him. It's not about me, it's about Him. I look forward to hearing from Sandra and Nicole on what they have to share regarding this great privilege we have to be able to come to the throne of God through prayer and meditation. Because of Jesus, we can be transformed, which will bring us to a closer walk with our Father, the Creator of all things. And this is the greatest, greatest blessing that we can have on this earth. It really has been a privilege and an honor to be here, and I'm so thankful to call all of you my sisters. Thank you for your patience.